here we go. I am at Shadowbrook Baptist Church doing Jesus Sing Like Me, that He Was Grateful. And what I love about this video, I had found this, it came through GodTube. You know, GodTube is back. We have YouTube, and then we have GodTube, probably owned by the same people as YouTube, which is not really good. But anyway, and it was Tangle for a while, which was weird. And they went back to GodTube. And just again, to have, you know, specifically to be able to find videos and things that Christians want to watch. And so the Skit Guys were the featured video that week, and an email went out, and I watched this. I don't know if it's from this year or last year, but I was watching it, and I said, Lord, this really ties into the message that You've given me. And it's the message of, by the way, the stuff on the back is just for fun, so we're not going to go through all that, but it's just, you can have that for fun. I did this last week with a church, and they're like, by the end, they were like, we're ready to go home, and then they saw the back, and I saw some of them were like leaving early. They're like, oh my goodness, she's only halfway through. And but anyway, I was watching this video, and I thought to myself, wow, about perspective. I mean, it really is about perspective. Isn't all of life about perspective? Depends on how you look at it. Now, I've got this one friend, her name is Tangy, and she's always looking at the glass half full, no matter what. Sometimes I just want to shake her, because it's not always fun to look at it half full all the time, you know? But that's the way she is in life. No matter what happens, she manages to find the silver lining in it. And as Christians, we need to do the same thing. We need to be thinking, Lord, maybe there's a different way to look at this that I'm not looking at. Maybe something, even to the point of our singleness, whether you're never married, never have been married, married once before, widowed, whatever your state of mind is. And here's the thing, unless you die exactly when your spouse dies, you will be single. And some of you were single before you got married, and so, or you know somebody who's single. Well, some of you might have got married right at 18 on your birthday, I don't know. But probably has a sibling or a child that's single. Everybody can relate to singleness. You know, we outnumber the married people now in America. I recently found an article that said 4 out of 10 people believe that marriage is obsolete. It was a poll that they had done. They had called all these different people in October. And it just discourages me to see this is where we're headed. But we as a church have control over making some changes in that area. And as singles, I say, who is preparing us to have these marriages? Or to at least know who we are in Christ and to be whole where we are. Amen? So I watched this video and I thought, this just cracks me up because it really does, it's your perspective. Of course, he's going to be eaten as the turkey, but he needed to look at his situation. I mean, not everybody has a great life right now. Not everything is going well for you. Some people don't have jobs or don't like your job or really don't like your job, but you can't leave your job because you got to pay the bills, right? And some of you are in relationships that you'd like to get out of. Some of you wish you were in one, you know. Some of you maybe have some health concerns, financial concerns, family issues, whatever it is. How do you find thankfulness in that? Well, for me personally, I thought God was crazy when He wanted me to write this article, this talk. It first started off as an article. Years ago, God gave me the theme of Jesus Single Like Me. Not to bring Jesus to my level, not to make Him less than the Savior, but God brought Him here as a man to relate to us. So I did some research to figure out, is Jesus' singleness, does it make a difference? The fact that He was single, was there anything that He could do that married people couldn't do? Was there a value of being single? Because I didn't really know it. I mean, I was like, okay, great. I'm less distracted, Paul. Great. Woohoo! You know, oh yeah, I can spend my money, whatever. You know, and I'm going to tell you what, I've traded all those things that supposedly singleness is good to have someone in my life. Because at the time when I was younger in my walk with the Lord, I really believed in the thought, you complete me, you know, Jerry Maguire. Because the world keeps telling us that we need that person to complete us. If one more time a little old lady comes up to me and says, Chris, don't worry, God's going to bring you somebody, I'm going to punch her out. You know, because what it is that when you've been married forever, even if you become a single woman or man at an older age, you still feel like everybody's supposed to be married. And when that keeps being pushed on you and pushed on you as if something's wrong because you don't have somebody, you begin to believe it. And then your perspective gets skewed, and all of a sudden you're not thankful for where God has you. You keep looking at where you're not. You keep looking over the horizon. What could be better? I'm not happy where I'm at, Lord. I can't see my situation right now. All I see is what I don't have, just like the turkey. He didn't look at the fact that he had a home, that he had plenty to eat. He didn't look at the problem that maybe he had friends. I don't know. Well, you had a brother. You know, be grateful that you had him for a while, you know? But I just love that because it encouraged me to say, Lord, maybe there's something in your life. So I've been writing a whole bunch of different articles about Jesus as a single. And again, not to take away that he is my Savior, he's my God, but to encourage me in my walk to know that if God allowed him to be single, there was a reason. And there is a reason to the point where I need to value it, not run away from it, not allow people to make me feel bad because of it, or not try to constantly get me hooked up. Because I've seen what some of y'all have been hooking up to. And I've seen what some of y'all have married. And I've seen what some of y'all have divorced. And I want it to be God's way. Because we, you know, we're married on earth for a second. And in heaven, we're either all single or all married, depending on how you look at it. And so what do I want to spend my life doing on this earth? Do I want it to be constantly obsessed about changing my situation? Or trying to find a person to make me feel good about myself? Or do I want to be used where God has me? And that may be in my singleness. Or in my marriedness. Is that the right word? Marriedness? I don't know. Because there's some married people I know who would like to be single. Because they go, Chris, you like you have fun. I go, I do. Like, hey, come here, honey. You know. So anyway, so I started working on this article. And as I was writing, I just kind of yelled out to God. And I said, God, how can I be thankful? What is it about your life and my life that are the same? How can I begin to look at your life and know that you are thankful? Were you really thankful? What could you possibly be thankful for? Look at what happened to you. Look at the life that you're calling. Look what was going to go and happen eventually with your life, and you knew that was going to happen. How can you be thankful? We don't know the future of our lives. And we get so busy with worried about what's coming down the road, we miss all this in between. When I do conferences and we have months and months of planning, the leadership usually of the conferences will get so focused on the conference, they forget about all the stuff that happens on the way. It's never about that. It's all the stuff in between. On the way down here, I heard a sermon. A pastor was preaching on, I say Jairus, I think it's maybe pronounced Jairus, about his daughter who was healed. She was brought back from the dead. And so he told nobody to say anything that happened. He said, whatever you do, don't tell anybody what's happened here. And people are always like, why wouldn't he let people, you know, why wouldn't he let people tell? Because it's not always about what we think it's about. There's other things that God is trying to do. And the obvious isn't always obvious. Amen? That's when we have to kind of sit and wait and listen for him and what he's doing. Well, perspective. This year, well, every year, God gives me words. And that word is what I'm supposed to be meditating on all year. I don't know how it came about, but it's just what God has done. This year he gave me three words. Rest, healing, and perspective. Rest because last fall I thought I was going crazy. I was working so much. Healing because my dad had died and I needed time to heal. And then perspective is because I kept looking at my situation from my situation, from my perspective instead of God's. This past year has been a tough economy-wise on everybody. In ministry, it's been extra tough. What I do is considered fluff in the ministry. It's not needed. Singers, not needed. You can have church without bringing somebody in to sing or bringing somebody in to speak. So I was one of the first areas that I saw targeted, and then singles were right there on the bottom. I mean, you know, you just, it's just, it is what it is. So this past year has been a total transformation in my life. I went from speaking 15, 20 times a month to once a month. I'm like, what are you doing? For a while, I thought I wasn't going to speak anymore. But Lord, I can't believe I love singles. How could you not let me go speak to singles? It's my heartbeat. It's my life. What will they do without me? He was like, what did you just say? But Lord, I've been doing it forever. gave me the scripture about Elijah. And Elijah kind of got the same way. He kind of felt like he's by himself. And like, you know, it was about what he was doing. And God reminded him. He said, Elijah, your calling is to go tell people about me. And where I place you is up to me. Because my purpose in life isn't my singles ministry. Or my women's ministry. Or my leadership training. My purpose is a relationship with God. I had gotten very off-centered. When the economy started going down and the work wasn't coming in, I began to question my calling. And God says, Chris, your calling is to tell people about me. Can you not do that at your house? Yeah, but I want to go out there. But it doesn't matter where I put you. It's perspective. I had the wrong perspective. I thought it had to be a certain way because it always had been that way. And God was making changes because He was trying to continue to mold me to be like Him. So this past year has been the most amazing year. I can't tell you all the things that God has taught me. I'm not there yet. The year's not over. God will show me what He wants me to do with what He has showed me this year. But trust went up sky mark. Sky went way up. Trusting in where He wants me to be, when He wants me to be, how He wants me to be. Trusting for provision. Unbelievable miracles have happened this year, guys. I can't tell you. Unbelievable provision. When I had a dime in my checkbook, nothing, and I would go to the post office and somebody had paid a bill for me. And I don't even know who they are. Perspective. When you get yourself lined up and you're obedient, it's amazing how God wants to show you His power and His glory. But when you keep doing it in your power, your glory, then you see the results. So Jesus, single like me, being thankful. Let me go to the Lord in prayer and get us ready to hear from Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You in a way beyond that we could ever describe and how to praise You. Our words are so little, but Lord, You use words to reach us. So Lord, we speak back to You the praise that You deserve. Thank You, Lord, so much for tonight. For every person here, it is not an accident. We know it's not an accident. People can do so many different things on a Friday night, and they chose to be here. I thank You for each person. That God, nothing returns void. Your word never returns void. I pray that I would decrease, You would increase, and the words that would come out would be Your words. That Lord, that any time tonight that You want to change the course, that I would know Your Spirit and I would hear Your Spirit and I would stop. And Lord, I thank You for Mark and his team and all the work preparing and his leadership team. And I thank You for Tom. And the work that You're doing through his life and his music and his art and his children. And I pray blessings on his life. Thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do. Help us to receive it and be prepared. And then we're not just going to hear it, Lord, but we're going to move on and we're going to have action. And our lives are going to change as a result of it. In Christ's name. Amen. Oh. Let me make sure I stay on track here a little bit because I can get off track. Can you tell? They're used to it. Well, because of me or from you, Mark? Yeah, because I've heard Mark teach too. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Let me make sure it's Mark. One thing that I noticed as I was preparing this is that, you know, there is some advantages to being single that I really love about being single. There is some things that I'm very thankful for. And one of the things that really jumped out right away, that God gave me the scripture, and we've read the scripture a bunch of times, you probably heard it a bunch of times, and I know not everybody in here, just because you're single, doesn't mean you think about your singleness, or that it's a big deal. It just is what it is. And so I'm not necessarily going to, you know, I don't want you to feel like, well, you know, I'm good with my singleness. You know, I've got a good perspective. I'm happy where I'm at. Well, good. Then take some of this and tell somebody else about it. Amen? But God had given me this scripture that I had read a bunch of times, and I was kind of like going, okay, yes, I hear you, Paul. Let me read it to you. It's 1 Corinthians 7:32 through 35. I don't know if you brought your Bibles tonight. Get your Bibles? I'm just kidding. You know, Chris, we were going to eat. We didn't know we got to bring a Bible. And I would like you to be free from concern. Paul's talking about married people and unmarried people. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of the world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in an undivided devotion to the Lord. What I love about Paul is he's writing this, and I'm like, yeah, fine, whatever, Paul. You know, okay, I'm not divided because I'm single, right? Just because I'm single, I'm immediately supposed to have more devotion to God, right? Not necessarily true, right? I mean, that he's saying is, as a single, I should have more attention on God because I don't have to worry about a spouse. Now, some of you are single parents, and that's a little bit different. But for me, I don't have any children. So I should be able to devote 24/7 to God. Yeah, there's still a struggle. But you know what? I did notice one thing. Is that every morning I get up alone. Hit my snooze alarm a few times. It's kind of a little tricky because I have to actually get up, hit four buttons on my cell phone, then hit the buzzer, then go back to sleep. You think I just get up by then? But I get up and I make my cup of coffee and I go open the window and I open the back window of the house. My house is kind of small. You can, in the front, you can see the back. And so I open up both windows to get a cross breeze. And then I get a little blanket on me and I get my cup of coffee and I open up the Bible and I can be totally quiet before God. And I go, wow, married people, they don't get to do this that much, do they? I can spend all morning with God if I want to. As much time as I need to, as the Spirit is leading me. I don't have to do anything else because God's going to provide and take care of me. If He's called me to spend 3 hours with Him, I can. Or 10 minutes. And I begin to go, wow, you know, Lord, it's a perspective. I just looked at this like, well, that's my quiet time. I got to have it. And I didn't realize, as a single, that's what Paul was talking about. I am able to devote that whole time. I don't have to worry about some of the things that married people have to do. Getting the kids off to school, or taking care of a husband, or making sure the meals and lunches and all these things. There was a value to my singleness. So I began to say, Lord, okay, show me what else that I'm missing. Show me what else that I can be thankful for that maybe you are thankful for. One of the first things that came to mind is that Jesus was the firstborn. Now, some of you may be the firstborn, the lastborn, I don't know which, and you can probably tell I was the firstborn, because I'm kind of in charge. And I have three younger brothers. Now, at the time of being the firstborn wasn't a lot of fun, because, you know, you get all the responsibility, and you have to take care of them. But at the time, I didn't see it was that big of a deal. I mean, Jesus was the firstborn. Maybe he was also thankful. Well, here's the cool thing about being the firstborn is I did take care of my brothers at a time. My mom was divorced, and in between marriages, I was like junior mom. I had to take care of my brothers and cook and clean and do some things. And it was amazing is that my mom trusted me with that responsibility. And I'm thinking, is there a value that Jesus was the firstborn? I mean, we know that he was born to a virgin that would probably, you know, prophecy would go out the window if he hadn't been the firstborn. But is there a thankfulness in that? Was he thankful for his place in the order of the children? Well, what I love for me is that I said, Lord, wow, I can really be a model to my brothers. I can really help them. Maybe there's something that I can do to set the example. There is a value here. My brother Stephen recently lives in Charlotte. I stayed with him last night, and he has two little kids, a 7 and a 9-year-old. And they're still at the age where they crawl all over you, and they love you. You know, they don't know yet who you are, you know. And they just think you're the greatest thing. We have this little game. My little nephew, he's 7 years old, and he's cute as a button. He kind of is a crossover between, I don't know. Well, you don't know what my brother looks like. He looks like me with shorter hair and Opie. He has this kind of like little look. And he's a little wise guy. He batted .850 baseball this year. So that's a pretty good little hitter, right? They call him Thunder. And so anyway, Matthew loves to play this game called Ooh-Ah. Now you're probably going, what is Ooh-Ah? Well, when he was a little tiny thing, I would grab his wrist and I'd pretend like we're doing kung fu and I'd go, Ooh-Ah, 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 and make make them slap themselves, you know? So one day he came to me and says, can we play ooh-ah? And I'm going, ooh-ah? What is ooh-ah? He had named it, you know? And I just like, you don't know what they're watching or whatever. You don't see the model that you're having on their lives. Well, my brother said, please pray. We're hoping to win the championship. And I said, Stephen, remember, you got to praise and let those children see you, whether you win or whether you lose. They need to see you praise and give an honor to God. And this is, even in the bad times of our life, the times that we feel that we've lost people, our jobs, our situation, our fight, we still have to praise Him. Because in those valleys is where we really grow. It's not on the mountaintop. So to me, Jesus, as an older sibling, He got to model devotion to God. He got to model taking care of His mama. Right? He got to model being a bigger sibling and being responsible and working to take care of his family. There's an honor. It depends on your perspective. Let me read a piece of scripture to you. Luke 1:17, and He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I think being the oldest helps prepare the next generation. Whether you're older in Christ or older in numbers, whether you have an opportunity to mentor someone younger than you, a big sister, a big brother program, teach Sunday school, you don't know what they're watching, you don't know what they're seeing. Years ago, I decided to stop giving toys to my nieces and nephews because I felt like they had too many. So I said I was only going to give them books. About two or three visits later, I kept giving them books. Matthew asked me, he goes, so where's the book? I said, oh my goodness, I forgot I brought him a toy. He remembered. It's been 5 years now. I walked in last night, he goes, so where's the book? He wasn't very excited. And I brought him instead something to draw, art. And so it was sort of a book, you know. Jesus would end up taking care of his mother, a widow. We know at the end of his life, Jesus is on the cross, and he makes provision for his mother, a single mom. Grown kids probably, but a single mom. And I love this because the reason why he made provision for her, we know that she must have been single, because why would you make provision for a woman if she had a husband? But interesting, he asked his friend to take care of her, which shows his love for his friend and the importance of friends. But at the end, he was there to help take care of his mom. He probably lived with her up until the time he went into public ministry and provided for her to take care of her. My father died last year and had 9 years of Alzheimer's, heart disease, and cancer. This man was a wonderful man. He wasn't my birth father. He was my stepfather. And what I love about Henry is that Henry married a woman and raised 4 children that were not his. That's an amazing man, guys. Just like Jesus' father raised him, and it wasn't his father. My dad would tell people that he has 6 children, not 2, but 6, and I was his baby girl. I was never anybody's baby girl. He brought Christ into our home. The last 9 months of his life, I moved in with them. None of my siblings, which are all married, could do that. They could come and visit here and there, but none of them could give the time, the attention that I could do. I could live anywhere doing what I do for a living. It doesn't matter. But the honor to be able to be there for the remaining months of his life, to be there every day, to help my mom, to help the nurses, to be there for him, to babysit him, to give her a break. What an honor. It's perspective. You can look at it and go, yeah, I'm going to end up taking care of my parents, my brothers and sisters. They ain't doing nothing. Well, I can have that attitude because they haven't done a whole lot. I'm pretty much the one that was there. My little brother came at the end for about a month, but he has 3 children and he's pastor of a church. So I can get angry and say, you know, why don't the rest of them help? Why don't the rest of them do something? Why do I have to be the one? Why do I, as the single, always have to go there? They never come to me. Well, there's 4 or 5 of us. It's easier for you to come to us. It is, but that's a whole other argument. But I look at the perspective and I go, look what I got to do they didn't get to do. I got to go spend time with my dad and I got to be beside him and I got to talk to him. And in and out of his Alzheimer's and his dementia, he would share truths and he would share stories about his life and he would share his love for God. And he was, one thing that I got to do that none of my family got to do is when he talked about the presence of Jesus with him at the end. Perspective. I could be angry as a single, but I don't think if I was married I would have been able to do that. I'm thankful. I believe Jesus was too. Matthew 15:4, for God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone curses his father or mother must be put to death. Not everybody can take care of their parents. I'm just saying, because I am single, because I have a job that can do this, what an honor. I knew he wasn't going to live forever, but even if he had lived, you know, he was sick for 9 years, so there's a lot of time that we spent with him, but that last year was that crucial year. Jesus was able to go into public ministry without hesitation. As a single without children, I can go and do whatever God wants me to do at the drop of a hat. I don't have to stop and ask a spouse anything. Now that may sound like good or bad. Depends on if you want a spouse. You're like, but here's how it was, man. I don't care. I don't care if I have to cook for 10 kids. I want a husband. I hear you. I hear you. I know God hears you too. He knows. He knows. But for whatever reason, he hadn't brought you one again, for some of you. You know, for whatever reason. So you're going to sit there and whine about what you ain't got instead of looking at what you got. You know, would you rather have somebody you fight with all the time? Or somebody that, you know, and not have nobody at all? I'd rather have nobody at all than somebody you fight with. I don't like to fight. I'm not good at fighting. I just run. Not good at conflict. Now, I know, of course, I still have some financial responsibilities, guys. I do own a house and have to pay bills and et cetera. But if God said, Chris, I want you to go do women's ministry and I want you to go on a tour with the Women of Faith, I'm praying for that. Women of Faith. People say, Chris, why don't you go on tour with them? And I go, they didn't ask. They're like buds. They didn't ask me. But I can do that. I just rent out my house just like that. I don't have to ask anything. I can just go. As God calls me, I can just go. Wow. And I'm not saying some married people don't do it either, but it's a lot more planning and praying got to happen. You got like, well, let me go talk to the wife. We got babies in school. We got jobs and all these things. You know that there's a church in Texas that the majority of their missionaries are single? They send them off to do trips because the flexibility. Their singles are very valued at their church because they do the majority of the missions work. Acts 16:10, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. A friend of mine who's dying of cancer right now, she said to me, Chris, wow, you've been able to be everywhere. We talked about all the places I've traveled. And I said, yeah. And I said, because of this ministry, I've been able to go everywhere in this country. I've been in every state. I've been to Europe. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Canada. Wow. And I don't think it would have worked as a husband if he was at home. Of course, I was dating this one guy a little, so we're sort of kind of. And I said, well, you know, I can give you a couple kids, but you're going to have to raise them. Because I'm on the road, you know. And we were sharing, like, you know, in my dream, Joe, Lord, bring me a man who wants to tour with me like Joyce Meyer. And he'll just help and set it all up for me. Joe, he ain't done it. I'd be good to have, you know, anybody help me with my stuff, you know. So, but it's okay. It's okay because I love being single. I think more than I want to be married. You know, I'm kind of happy where he's got me. And for the 2 seconds here and there that I boohoo, it's usually connected to something you've watched on television, right? I don't own a TV. TV ain't the problem. I'm the problem. Because I do this. And you're like, I want to marry too. You just met him 3 days ago on the love boat, but I want to marry him too. Crazy. People are crazy. So you just like, you know, right? It's just crazy. My mom, who is now single, for the first time in her life, totally understands my life. She says, you know what, how do you deal with being single now? She asked me, how do you deal with being single? She says, in church, nobody asks me to lunch anymore. I said, yeah, unless it's another single. Nobody asks about how I'm doing. Yeah, I'm used to it. Nobody ever asks how I'm doing. I don't know any other life. I'm used to it. But she's not. She goes, why is it that women grab their husbands when I'm around? And they don't like me hugging their husbands. I said, well, I don't care. I hug them anyway. You know? she goes, wow, do you deal with this your whole life? I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, so be young and have the women. They grab their husbands and move them away from you. Yeah, now it's not so much. Now they go, oh, it's Chris, you know. But she's learning. But you know what's cool? She says, you know what? I was married to someone I didn't love that much. That was my birth father. Then I was married to someone that I loved greatly. And she goes, now I get to go and have a third life of doing missions work. I can travel. She goes, I want to get on one of the buses that goes to Myrtle Beach. I said, where do you want the bus to go? I don't care. I just want to go on it. I love it. I love it. She traveled with me last weekend to Charleston and got to hear me speak. And she's like, whew, it's a lot of work. Because we were there, I spoke to three different times. And she's just like, how do you do this? And I said, HS, Holy Spirit, you know. You know, but you got to love it too, you know. Jesus could spend as much time as he needed with whomever. What I love about being a single guy is I can stop anywhere and talk to anybody about anything. I ain't got nobody to worry about. I can talk to a guy. I can sit here and talk to this married man right here. There's a married man here. Besides that one. I can sit here and talk to this married man and I ain't got to worry about any man getting jealous. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter. That's what I love about being single, is that I can talk to people for the purpose of Christ, not for the purpose of trying to hook up. You know, I don't ever have to worry about that. Every conversation is about the Lord. I love that. And this is the thing that I do. We talked about traffic earlier. I try to leave early enough. One, to, in case there's traffic. Two, I don't, in case I get lost. Three, if God wants me to talk to somebody. I'm big on what's called a God incident. I pray every morning that God will lead somebody in my path that I can talk to about Him. A God incident. It may be something simple as, you know, you look, I love that jacket, that is cool, you know. How are you doing today? How are you feeling? To have someone encourage me, but an opportunity to let someone know that I love the Lord, if it's possible that day. It happens every day. Every day, God brings people in your path. You don't have to go to them. They come to you. You're just so busy, you miss them. What I love about being single is I can stop and talk to any person, stranger, weirdo, whatever. I love it. And as a married person, you can't do that. You have to have a little extra boundaries, a little extra guard. Because how would people look at a married woman talking to some single guy? But as a single, I can do anything. I love that. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I don't have to have that type of wall up in front that I can't do that. Hebrews 10:24 said, let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. As a single, I get to encourage. Jesus would spend his money, his fruit, the way he wanted. I love this, guys. Deuteronomy 15:10, give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all the work and everything you put your hand to. I'm grateful because I can spend my money any way that I want to without asking anybody. Not out of like, I do what I want. No, I'm asking him. But you know what? If I happen to walk by somebody and they need something, I can make a decision on the spur of the moment. I don't have to ask anybody. And there is a value to that. And I'm not saying there's not a value. Oh, Scott, it's okay, honey. And it doesn't mean there's not a value in asking a spouse. There is a value in that too, but I'm just saying there's a value in not having to ask. It's your perspective. It's how you look at it. When I meet people that get married for the first time and they're in like their 30s or 40s, they say that's one of the first things that's when you have to like realize that your account's together and you can't just stop at CVS and buy some knickknack. Or you can't just stop and buy an extra or buy a top, or you have to go, wait a minute, I gotta make sure we have it, and I gotta check in with the, you know. One of my board members got married at 40, and he said his wife kept saying, their biggest argument was, she'd say, you know, you still think you're single. You act like a single person. You don't call me when you're running late. You don't call me and ask me if I can buy this or buy that. He says, you know what, you're right. Because he'd been single for so long, he didn't know any, that's just the way he lived his life. He had to learn to change that to think of her. Jesus learned how to get along with others as a preparation. What I'm thankful, guys, is all my situations, all the things that have happened to me are preparation. Maybe they're preparation to be married. I don't know. Having a roommate is a big preparation for, you know, if you can't get along with a roommate, how do you have a spouse? And I think it teaches you a lot. How do you, if you're not on a team and learn how to work together as a team in ministry, how do you have a relationship with somebody of the opposite sex? And so to me, everything that happens in my life is a preparation for what God is supposed to, where God is taking me to the next level. It's perspective. You can get angry and get mad at God because He has you where you're at, instead of going, but Lord, why is He preparing me? What is He doing that He's preparing me for? Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh one will stir up anger. Jesus had friends of the opposite sex. This is one of my favorite topics. I actually wrote a whole article just on this topic, that Jesus says it's okay to have friends of the opposite sex. I've talked to some people and they don't think you should. Some think it's okay, and then some say, no, it's not healthy, get yourself in trouble. Well, then why wouldn't you want to do what Jesus did? But Jesus had boundaries. Duh. He didn't go into a woman's house by herself. You know, I mean, have some common sense. But we have friends of the opposite sex to build us, to grow us. We have friends of the opposite sex so that if God does want you to be married, it helps to learn a little bit about them. I'm very thankful that years ago, Dick Purnell, we talked about this with Pam, he and I wrote the Bible study together. But Dick Purnell, some of you probably don't know who he is, but he's one of the fathers of singles ministry. He's been around doing stuff for a long, long time. And he wrote a conference called Understanding the Opposite Sex. And I learned so much about men that I wasn't aware of, and it helped me. And so the more I'm around men and understand how they are in a platonic environment, the more I'm better at being their friend, the more I'm better at helping them in their relationships. Majority of men are very compartmentalized. They think of one thing at a time. And women connect everything together. Men are the hunters. See deer, shoot deer, kill deer, bring deer home. And women are like, oh, I got to cook the deer, wash the baby, wash the floor, wash the deer, I got to do the dressing. That's how we are, for the most part. Okay? So we get angry when the men in our life as women, you come home, and this is in marriages, or even in a boyfriend, girlfriend, you're like, you're out on a date, and they can't seem to have a conversation with you and drive. For some reason. That's, you know, they need to drive. And if you want to have a deep, meaningful, what are you thinking of? Wait till you're stopped somewhere, okay? And men, you know, when we say things, and we say things like, you know, we're hungry, there's so much attached to that. If you only knew, it's not just we're hungry. We're saying we're hungry, and if you don't hurry up and feed us, we're going to be in a bad mood, and you're not going to like us. You know, or if you don't take me to the restaurant that I want to go to, well, I don't know where you want to go. I don't know where you better pick something good, you know, because that's what we're really saying. You know, there's, and the more we learn about each other, the better friend we are, the better sibling we are, the better person in our church we are. When I found out that men really, for the most part, had a hard time thinking beyond one subject in front of them, not as a negative, just the way God made them, I thought, well, you know what? If I really want to get something out of the opposite sex, if I need something done, one of my friends, I need to be really specific and say, when do you get a chance, while you're at work, when you have a minute, would you call me? I have a question to ask you. I don't go, leave 40 things on the voicemail. Okay, I have a really good friend named Ralph, and I'll say, Ralph, when you get a chance, would you call me? Because I know why he's thinking of his job. He's not going to be focused on me. And then he will call back and say, what's up? I say, I need help with a, you know, whatever. He'll say, well, I'll get back with you. But if I gave him the whole spiel of things, he'd say, send me an email. Because, you know, he can't remember those things, right? You know, and so it's amazing because the more I learn about him and men in general, the better I am as a friend. And that again prepares me for what? For everything in ministry. Everything. Not just spouse, getting married, but everything. And I could be a better listener, and I could be a better friend. Because men aren't like me. Why do I want to keep making them like me? When God didn't make them that way. He liked them for where they are. Jesus, John 11:5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Opposite sex friends. Jesus, as a single adult, had boundaries. I'm so thankful for the boundaries in my life. My boundaries have protected my ministry, have protected my heart. Do I think that Jesus, you know, was Mary Magdalene, it's a big story, was Mary Magdalene in love with Jesus? You know, I don't know. I probably Baba would be. Man just saved me from seven demons. I'd follow him around too. You know? Were they close? Yeah. Because at first she was like pretty scummy. She had seven demons. Had old bugs probably crawling on her. Her hair all matted and stunk. And then she got all cleaned up. And by the time we know the end, she's out there telling people about Jesus. She's the first woman, single lady, got to see Jesus rise from the dead. How do you go from bleh to that? Well, she spent some time with Jesus. Was she drawn to him? Was she drawn because of her as a single? Yeah. But she was drawn to him also because of her Savior. I think Jesus had to have a lot of boundaries. I think a lot of women and men, women were drawn to him because they're like, Lord, God, is he supposed to be my husband? You know, I don't know, maybe. They don't, you know, I'm sure they asked. And a lot of the men were like, he's a model, he's an example of who I want to be. And they're attached to him and they probably followed him around like puppy dogs. He had to have boundaries. You know about the boundaries. He'd just get in the boat and go across the water, just get away from the people. Because he said, the poor will always be with you. People are always going to need. He had boundaries. And I know he was thankful for his boundaries because it protected his relationship with God. Do you protect your relationship with God? Do you protect your quiet time that you don't let anything interrupt it? You turn off your phone, turn the TV off, turn off the computer, and just sit. I think sometimes singles don't want to sit and just listen to God because we're afraid God's going to tell you that you're going to be single forever. Like, if I don't have to listen, I don't have to hear him tell me that. I don't know too many singles that go, thank you, God, I'm single. I love being single. You can leave me this way forever. Not. I don't know too many people that say that, but that's where God wants us to be. Lord, here I am. This is where you've got me. And I don't like every part about it. And there are days that it's lonely. There are days that I'm hurting. And I don't like being alone at home. I don't like that I don't have someone to turn to at night. And I don't like it that I don't have someone to sleep to at night. I don't have all the financial responsibilities on me. All the decision makings on me. But Lord, I have you. Please be enough for me. Please help me and fill my heart and fill that void. Put friends around me. Put a ministry around me. Help me to stop thinking about myself and all my pity parties. And let me serve you, Lord. Let me get out and help other people who don't know you, Lord. Perspective. Psalm 25:21. May integrity and uprightness protect me because my hope is in you. Finally, Jesus has spiritual children. Even though Jesus was not a parent per se, you know, he was God, the father of all, you know, per se, wasn't married. He has spiritual children. I'm thankful that as a single, so do I. I have all these nieces and nephews, and I love that they love me, and they just love me. I love that at the age they still love you. Like, they just, you know what I'm saying? Because when you were a kid, you had somebody you looked up to, and then they grew up, and you're like, ugh. Because you don't know nothing. You're a little kid, right? I love that my niece and my nephew still think I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. But you know what? I'm not in their life just to be the happy aunt, the funny aunt, the aunt that plays with them. I'm in their life because God wants me to teach them about Him. Do I want my nieces and nephews' favorite memory is ooh-ah? Or do I want their favorite memory is, and Christine would pray with us. And Christine would teach us about Jesus. And Christine would help someone who needed finances and on the street. Or Aunt Christine would, you know, talk to the waitress about church. What do you want your legacy to be? Whether you have children of your own or you desire children of your own, or maybe your kids are gone, what type of model are you being to those around you that God has placed before you? Dick Fennell told me one time that he was led to Christ by what he thought was an elderly lady in his neighborhood. She was in her 40s. He was 4 years old, and he said she led him. I know, Joe, it's depressing, isn't it? And she led him to Christ. He was four. She said she had a neighborhood Bible study every week, and all the children in the neighborhood would come together in her front porch, and she would teach the Word of God to these children. And he got saved at four. He said she never got married, but she had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children. He said, what do you think it's going to be like in heaven with all of these children that she led to Christ? I'm thankful as a single that I get opportunities that my married siblings do not get. I get to be the aunt that does things with them that their parents don't get to do. But I have an opportunity of a relationship with them that they don't have. Perspective. Mark 10:14, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." We know that Jesus loved children. Do you think he might have desired to have his own? Oh, yes. Jesus was fully human? I think so. But it wasn't God's calling on his life. It wasn't the path that he was given. So I know that he knows how I feel. So what are you thankful for? Based on this message, we're just going to have a little small group discussion. But let me just ask you, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for?
Well, I am thankful because I am single, and the reason I'm here is because I'm single.
Yes.
And that's just happened over the last a little over a year that
right.
I've been coming here. But if it weren't for that, I wouldn't be here.
Right. So how has this been a blessing to you?
I've gotten involved in a lot of Bible studies that I wasn't involved in before, and I've really grown.
So as a single, even though it looked like it was a negative, because you obviously were married.
Well, something like that.
Okay. All right. Okay. But what else is there? Okay.
I wasn't married. I was in a relationship
okay.
for a very long time.
Okay.
But I should have been in it.
Right.
So it was good for me to get out of that and draw closer to God.
So be it acknowledging that she was single and saying, you know what, Lord, I can do this. So that's good. Thank you for that perspective. I love that. That was good. And I can see how God has really been working on you. Yeah. Yes, over here. I thought you're pointing to George. George, how are you thankful for your singleness? How are you thankful? Are you single?
Perhaps.
Are you single, buddy? Okay, and I heard we know why. But anyway, just kidding. No, what are you thankful for your singleness?
Yes.
Why?
Because it drew me to a place that I couldn't have gone in the relationship I was in.
Interesting. That's powerful. That's the answer we want to have to say. But not everybody's there yet. You know, and that's okay. Not everybody is looking at their singleness as this blessed event in our lives. Julie, why are you thankful as a single?
I was thinking about that this week, actually, because I have a very rushed and hectic life. And as I'm running to and from, in and out the door, I'm thinking, holy cow, I couldn't do this if I had a husband and kids. Survive.
Right. And it doesn't mean that God's not going to bring her spouse and she's going to have that life, but she can take a look at where he has her and see the value in that as well, right? A lot of people that are single guys are always looking for that mate, or they're always looking for that better job, or they're always looking for that better place to live. When this happens, I'll go here. When this happens, I go there. And they miss life. You're awful quiet. Tell me why you're thankful as a single.
I haven't been single very long.
Okay.
But it may sound petty, but I am thankful that I can spend my money on whatever I want and not have to answer to anyone about it.
Okay. As long as you use it for the way he wants you to use it for, right? Yeah, because you can have it the other way. You're like, I got my money now. Because I know some married people still got their money. They got separate checking accounts. That's not what I meant, you know. Okay, back here. Thankfulness. This lady here with the glasses right on the left with the dark top. What are you thankful for as a single? Okay.
Because I was married for 24 years, and my husband passed away 8 years ago.
Okay.
And I'm still working on depression.
Okay. But that's okay. But that's what God's got you here, because he wanted you to look at it and go, wait a minute, you know, I don't like that my husband died. It's not fair. I want him here. I miss him. I miss what we had. One lady said to me last week, she just misses walking down the church corridor with her husband. She just misses that. My mom, she says, the nights are horrible. Just not having that person beside you. But she says, but I try to think about all the things I'm going to get to do now that I'm not having to take care of your dad all the time. And not to disqualify, I would do it a million times over, but to say, thank you, Lord, now I get to do all these other things. Grady, what you thankful for as a single?
After 40 years of marriage, that I've never been a selfish person, but I really enjoy my time alone.
Yeah.
And so that was something, someone who had worked for so long, daylight to dark, in a business and everything, and I never enjoyed some of the things that people do.
Uh-huh.
I live for a church, a family. Those were the two things. And so when I was, after I've gotten out, and we can load up and go play golf, and we can talk, and we go and drive, I'm just thankful to be alive.
Yeah. Yeah, my mama says, be thankful that the plumbing works. Because when it don't work, then you realize, right? Be thankful for what, yeah, I mean, you can, and that's why I made up that little list on the back that was kind of silly. You know, I just thought of myself, I said, what am I thankful for? Windows, because you know, pillows, my thumb. You ain't got a thumb, it ain't working. You know, coffee, oh, thank you, Jesus. GPS that's accurate, not the inaccurate ones. Turn left, I'm in the middle of a highway, turn left. You know, large print menus, fried pickles. Being able to bend down. Till you can't bend down, you know, you're thankful. Yes, sir.
Just watching TV.
Yeah.
I never watched TV. And now I'm falling in love.
Yeah. Perspective, right? Perspective is how you look at it. And guys, remember, let me just explain something that was very, very important because I go everywhere and talk about singleness and the church today as a whole, it's very special what they have here because the majority of churches out there don't have anything for singles, okay? And even though we outnumber the marrieds, I don't know where they think, you know, why they think, you know, church is just about married people and kids, you know? It just drives me crazy to see the lack of trying to reach us and encourage us. I'm not saying that every church has to have a ministry, but they need to be ministering to us. But how you behave and how you look at it is what they, how they make decisions whether to continue it. And if you boo-hoo all the time about your singleness, it gives all the rest of us a bad name. Okay? And so understand that your people are watching you and listening to you because unless somebody's spouse dies when they die, they're going to be single. And if you don't show them that there's joy in the midst of what you don't like, there's joy in the midst of financial burdens or health or whatever, if you can't show them that God's perspective, then how do you help them? All you do is perpetuate what's already out there, which is a wrong stigma of who singles are. There's a lot of married people who don't like their life either. There's a lot of married people that have really tough marriages, and they would love to be single to avoid some of the stuff that's in their life. But God has put them where they are for a reason as well. So we need to celebrate our singleness. Not to say we don't want someone in our life or we don't like it all the time, but we need to celebrate where God has us because there's a reason behind it and we're supposed to use it. We're supposed to use it to reach people for Christ. Amen? What is our time? Are we done? So we don't have the small group. Okay, well, let me close with this. I was going to let you do a little small group discussion. Let me close with this. I had about 3.5-4 weeks ago, I fell off a horse. Now, I was up in the mountains. You hit me on Facebook?
No.
Okay. I was up in the mountains in Eastern North Carolina, and I'm crazy. I don't know if y'all can tell. But I'd love trying new things or interesting things. I mean, and I've got some stories. I mean, how am I going to teach if I don't have stories? So things have to happen to me, right? So I'm up in the mountains. I just got through doing a whole women's event, and the next day, do you remember Anne-Marie? Did you ever know Anne-Marie? Okay, Anne-Marie and I decided to go horseback riding in the mountains, and they have this wonderful place there that says if we can load you, we can haul you. And because, you know, being a little bit larger, you know, there's some places that won't take you if you're a big person. And so, you know, and so this place says, you know, because they specialize in people with disabilities, all different ages. If they can get you up on the horse, they'll haul you. So, but I've been riding since I was young, so I wasn't too concerned. So we're riding up the mountain, and they were starting to come down the mountain, and it had rained, and so the ground was kind of muddy, and the horse stumbled going down the mountain. And in a second, you don't even have time to think, I fell over top and fell off, hit my lower back on the right side, and then rolled over onto my stomach. Well, the horse, which normally would have kept going because it was on the, you know, going down, about a 60-degree angle, backed up, which was a miracle. because they said, Chris, do you realize, you know, I said, the horse probably went, oh, thank God she's off my back. But anyway, you know, the horse was like, you know, the horse stepped back as if, to me, the Holy Spirit pulled that horse back. Because the, just natural, guys, if you were to fall down, you're going to fall forward. You're not going to fall backwards. So I lay there kicking my legs and then and screaming in agony. Just screaming. My face was in the mud. Screaming in pain. And this is like past the pain when you like fall up your steps. Or fall out in your front, in your yard. You fall, you're like, oh, hold on. Make sure it's all connected. You hurt for a little bit. Your stomach gets nauseous. This was pain. I thought my back was broken. I thought there was something disconnected inside, okay? So I'm laying there kicking my legs, and it dawned on me, my legs are moving. Okay, so I'm thankful. Okay, perspective. The horse backed up. I'm thankful. Okay, we're on our way back, which was good. I was thankful. Well, I'm laying there, and I got these, you know, old, you know, cowboys. Like, well, let's get you up. I'm like, leave me alone. Don't touch me. Give me a chance. Because you have to mentally kind of, is this good? This is good. This is good. You know, checking everything. And, y'all, the pain was in it, the worst pain I'd ever had in my life. And I've had kidney stones. This was past the kidney stone. So finally, you know, they bring up this little like, it's like a golf cart for the mountains. And they got to load me in this thing. Unless I go by helicopter is the only way off the mountain. So I finally, you know, get up and whatever, and I'm over in this thing, and it goes 1 mile an hour down the mountain. It hits every bump. I think they should have thrown me over the horse and let me go down that way. And so we weren't literally. The horses were right behind us and we're in front of them in this cart, you know. But I was thankful because there was something to bring me down the mountain. So I'm there in pain and like tears rolling down my eyes and not sure. I mean, obviously I was sitting up riding down this thing, so I knew that, you know, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. And this guy's sitting there going, yeah, I used to ride horses, but I got a drinking problem. Like, he said, but, you know, I ain't drank today. I was thankful. Because we're driving a cart down the mountain, you know, thinking, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, so I'm trying to witness in the pain. Excruciating pain, but I knew that I was supposed to witness to this guy in the middle of my pain. So we finally get down to the bottom. Here comes the owner, and he's worried about me because, you know, I think I'm going to sue, but I had signed something that said I wouldn't sue. And anyway, and so they try to get me into the car. I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't even stand up. It was just like I had to have all these people help me. It was an hour and 15 minutes to the hospital. And, people said, why'd you go by ambulance? And I go, well, it was quicker. Just, you know, by then, you know, all the vital signs seemed to be about right. I know my heart wasn't racing. I was still awake. So I figured, what's the ambulance going to do? But it cost me money. So we got to the ER. And I was pitiful. Put me in a wheelchair. Then the wheelchair wouldn't fit in the bathroom. Had to use the bathroom. And you think, you know, I'm thankful that I don't need a wheelchair. I'm thankful that I can use a restroom by myself. Until you can't use a restroom, you got somebody to help you. You learn to be thankful. So I finally, of course, got in the room, and I was in horrible pain. And they do all the tests, you know, and the X-rays and the CAT scan. And I just knew they were going to come back and say, you know, your hip's dislocated or whatever. And they came back and said, there's nothing wrong with you. Nothing. He said, I had a temperature, and they gave me a little morphine. I wanted more, but they said no. I said, but I think I need it. I need to cut the edge a little bit. But I got to witness to everybody in the hospital, even in the pain. All the different nurses and the techs, I got to share who I was, because they're like, what are you doing on a horse? Well, I was teaching at this church. What were you teaching on? And I got to share what God was doing in my life, even in the pain. And then to find out there was nothing wrong, it was just a really bad bruise, sciatic nerve. I was going to hurt for a while. So I was there for about 3 days, and then I finally drove home. It took me 11 hours. What would be a four-hour drive? It took me 11 hours because I kept having to stop. And then it's just been a slow process of healing over the past few weeks. Perspective, guys. I can look at it and just say, you know, I messed up my trip, and I had to stay extra, and it cost me this money, and yada, yada, yada. But these people got to hear about Jesus, and He owns all the money anyway. Right? And nothing was damaged that wood couldn't heal on its own. So I'm thankful. because I'm a big person and I fell off a big horse going down a mountain. Something should have been broke. And I believe God's angels were there holding me together, protecting me. Amen? So let's pray. And Mark, I'm sure, wants to say something. I don't know what, but he'll tell you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come again to thank you. Thank you, Lord, that yes, you were single. You were single, and you know what we feel. You know what it feels to have lost your life. You know what it feels to not have things turn out maybe the way you had wanted. That even on the cross, Lord, you were like, if this can be taken from me. But Lord, you knew that what had to happen had to happen. So help us, Lord, in our lives, whether we're married in this room or single in this room or dating or newly divorced or whatever we are, whatever situation, Lord, help us to see your hand in it. Help us to have your perspective, that you have us where we are until you move us. And not to miss the journey of this life. John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come to give life to its fullest, to an abundance. Lord, are we living a life of abundance? Are we living a life of anger and hurt and selfishness? Lord, we have so much to offer so many people around us. Help us to be used by you for that. Help us not to just hear tonight the word, but to take this. To take this word, Lord, and do something with it. In Christ's name, amen.
Chris, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's give her a little hug.
That's a funny picture, really. Oh, Mark, you're just something.
Yeah, I am something. I'm not sure what I am, but I am something. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you coming down here and hearing perspective.
Appreciate you guys coming tonight. Hope you had a good time. We did an experiment this year for Thanksgiving. Meg was in a Christmas family.
I think eat both. That's just my opinion.
I'll let you talk to Bobby about my budget.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that part. I can't even see to turn it off.
Anyway, so we will not be doing a Christmas banquet, so this is the last big event of the year. So I just want to thank you for this minute and say thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of this ministry.